I want to turn to God's Word this morning for our scripture reading. I want to turn to the Old Testament and to really be a well-known passage to many people, 2 Kings chapter 4. And very much thinking of today being Mother's Day, and really what I want to do today is to really, in God's Word, look at two women and see what we can learn from them, see how especially mothers here today can be encouraged through God's Word, through the examples of women in God's Word. And in 2 Kings chapter 4, well, we're told here about a woman, but we're not told her name. But yet the lessons that the example that we have from her are tremendous. But as I say, while as we're looking at a woman as Mother's Day, it doesn't mean the men can switch off. It is a word for us men as well. And as I say, an encouragement to us, because really what stands out is the greatness of God, especially whenever a woman within the home puts God first. And that's what we'll be looking at really this morning a little later on as we come to consider this passage. But 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1, we read these words: There cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bond men. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. And then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay the debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. We end there at verse 7. We again give thanks to God for his own inspired word. Before we come to God's word, we want to say a big thank you to Rodney for the invitation to come and to preach today, and also for the very warm welcome. And says it is a great joy to be with you again and to be able to come and to say, to share God's word. That's really what we'll be focusing on today. Might maybe say one or two wee things this evening about Coaching for Christ. I did do a comprehensive report really back in September, October time when I was last here. There's a lot has happened, and the Lord has been blessing over the past number of months. And especially a lot of kids have been getting saved. And I'll just share a little maybe a bit about that this evening. And as I say, we'll be turning to God's Word as well this evening. I never usually do it, but maybe if you want to do some reading this afternoon for tonight's service, we're going to be looking at Hosea chapter 3 and really looking at Gomer, Hosea's wife. And if you read chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, then certainly chapter 1 in particular will give you really the background to what we're going to be looking at in chapter 3 this evening. So Hosea chapter 3, as I say, if you want to read that for this evening. But I do want to thank you also for all your prayers for us. Obviously, the Clenavon team, and for the work that is ongoing there. But for us in Coaching for Christ, and for us as a family, we want to thank you for your prayers for us, and also for your financial support. And indeed, that's very much valued. And I say we appreciate it so much, and enables us to keep going on in the work of the Lord, and keep serving him day by day. So we want you to know we really do appreciate that. But say this morning, we're turning to 2 Kings chapter 4. And of course, today is Mother's Day. And really, this is the day that really we honor each and every mother certainly within our land. Well, it's across, certainly across, I was going to say across the world. I don't think it's every country that has today as Mother's Day, but certainly in our own nation and our own land and within our own homes, we do indeed honour each and every mother. I'm not going to embarrass any of the teenagers here, embarrass any husband to see who got up and made the breakfast for their mother, for their wife this morning. And as I say, if I asked that question, well, I'd be a hypocrite because I didn't even do it for Heather this morning as well. But of course, say, this is the day that is very much set aside to honour mothers. And really, as I was thinking about this morning, I was just checking out on sort of the internet sort of some of the definitions as to, well, what is a mother? What is a mum? And a number that I came across and very much speaking into really just how precious a mother is within a home. And what she does for a family, what she does for her children, and certainly what she does as well for her husband as a wife. And number of definitions, one is this, it says, she is the person who raises, loves, and cares for you, the one who comforts you when you are sick, the one who laughs with you and cries with you, the person who loves you even when you aren't exactly lovable, someone who exhibits infinite patience. Another definition is this, she's someone who loves you unconditionally, the maker and keeper of precious memories. And thirdly then, she can detect a lie, hear the smallest noise, and see out the back of her head. Another one says, someone who sees the best in her kids, even whenever they drive her crazy. And she's one of unconditional love. And then at the bottom of it says this, see also Superwoman. That's what it says with that as well. And then another one, which I thought was rather interesting, and it came up quite a bit on the internet. It says, just simply says this, one person who does the work of 20 for free. And maybe that's what mothers will be thinking this morning. That's exactly just what it is. And the reason I mention that this morning is that it is Mother's Day, but really, I want us to look at a mother here in 2 Kings chapter 4. This is a lovely chapter, a lovely section of God's Word, which, to say, really focuses, say, on the mother and just the ultimately the greatness of our God. And it comes as an encouragement to us this morning, but it's not exactly all a bed of roses, really, for this mother, because really what we see, first of all, as we look at this mother and look at her two sons, I want you to notice with me what is simply entitled, first of all, is The Family and Its Problem. The Family and Its Problem. Look here at what we have in verses 1 and 2 as we really look at the problem that this mother and her two sons were going through and had experienced. It says, there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. If ever there was a home that was in the midst of a crisis, this was it. In this home, and say, we have three people. We have a mother and her two sons. And really what we see is that they're in the middle of something which they probably hoped would only be a bad dream. But a bad dream it was not, because this was something that was really happening to them. I think it's safe to say, really, it was their worst nightmare. They're at breaking point. That's what we see here as we come to these verses. They're breaking point because not only have they had to experience death within the home as a father and a husband has died, but what we now see is that, and that's why I read verse 2 as well, what we now see is that they're on the verge of being broken up even more, because this family is in great debt. This mother and her two sons, they're in great debt. And really what we would say is that they have nothing to pay the debt, or literally nothing. All they have is very little. All they have is a pot of oil. And Really, as I say, certainly if you were to look at that in comparison with today and what we have in society, like if you were to go home and had absolutely nothing within the home and all you have is just a simple pot of oil, you would say, really, you are at breaking point. You have nothing and you're sitting looking at debts as well. And say, all they have is this pot of oil. And really what we know is that this pot of oil was not enough to pay her debt. No money did they have put away for a rainy day. Certainly things were very different back then, very different from what we have, even with our welfare system and so forth, and our government to help us out whenever we are under a particular income. But none of that was there in Israel at that time. And certainly it's like that in many other countries even today. I think of, say, other countries. I think of one country that may be surprised. I think even of Spain. Yeah, in Spain, they have no welfare system. We think of Spain, we go there for our holidays. We go there and coach in May time and in August time with Coaching for Christ. But we've come across families who literally a few years ago had everything, but now they have nothing. Because maybe the husband has lost his job or the husband has died. And there's absolutely no income whatsoever for the family to cope with it all. And to say, that's what we find here in this situation. Say, this mother had no money that was being put away for a rainy day. She had nothing to help clear the debt. Really, they were broke. And what we see is that the creditor, the one that she owed the money to, was ready to come. And I don't know whether he had come before and maybe had issued a warning. Maybe there had been a letter of warning saying, well, if you don't pay this debt, this is what's going to happen. And really for this mother, it was the worst thing ever because she's already lost her husband. And what the creditor is saying, well, you owe me money, so what I'm going to come is going to come and take away your house. No, I'm going to come and take away your two sons. In other words, the two sons were going to be taken and to be slaves. And taken as slaves for 7 years because that's what the creditor felt, that that's what was needed for them to work for him for 7 years and that would clear off the debt. So what we see is that it must have been a huge debt that had been incurred. Maybe since the husband had died. And say this debt had kept building and building. We don't know when the husband had died. It may have been even a couple of years. So maybe this debt had incurred, it had grown and grown, and now the creditor was saying, well, I need these two boys for 7 years to clear off your debt. So say that's what we find here, and that's what we find to say was this terrible situation. But there's something else that I want you to note from these verses here this morning is that this home was a home where the Lord was central and the Lord meant so much to them. So that's something that we must take note. We're not looking here at a home where God had been rejected within the home. We're not looking at a home where we're not looking at a mother where she lived for the things of this world. Putting it in today's world, it's not a home where drugs were in the center of the home, or it's not a home that had been destroyed by alcohol or anything like that. It's not a home that had been destroyed by living a wrong life. This is a home where God was central. And I think that's so important to say, well, how do we know this? Well, if you look at verse 1. It says, there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets. And that's key because really what we know is that her husband, whenever he was alive, to say he really what was, and again putting it in today's terms, he was somebody who had been in Bible college, somebody who had been trained for serving the Lord. And say this was a home that the Lord had the preeminent place in the home because it goes on to say, thy servant, that my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. So again, we see that how the Lord was so central in this home. He had the preeminent place, because not only was it a woman who loved the Lord and lived for the Lord, but we see a husband who loved for the Lord, and in fact we would say had made the ultimate sacrifice, in that he'd gone to Bible college to train to serve the Lord. And I believe that this is a reminder to us. Is it not today that every Christian home where the Lord is the preeminent place will have times whenever there will be things that will happen which will cause great pain, and it'll cause great heartbreak, and it'll leave God's people wondering why the Lord has allowed it to happen? You see, what we need to understand today is that no Christian home is there that will be exempt from pain, and no Christian is there that will be exempt from pain. Is this not so different from what we often hear in today's world, and indeed from a lot of preaching, that if you're living for the Lord, that everything is going to be a bed of roses? That everything is going to be trouble-free, that if you live for the Lord, that, well, you're not going to have the problems that the world are going to have. And they say that is a teaching that has been proclaimed from pulpits, but yet when we read the Word of God, what we see is something so different. And we thank God for His Word, because is it not that it comes to us as an encouragement, it comes to us as a help, that whenever we do go through the difficult times, and especially whenever we can look back at our lives, or we look at our lives and we say, well, Lord, I'm seeking to live unto You. I'm seeking to serve You, Lord. I'm seeking to put You first in my life. I'm seeking to give You the preeminent place within my heart, within my home, within my job, within everything that I do. As I say, is it not that this comes as an encouragement to us, that whenever we do go into troubling times or painful times, it's not a message that is saying, well, God has turned against us? Because is it not that that's what we can think? To say we've made so much sacrifice for God, maybe. We've given so much to Him. And then suddenly something happens that just takes the feet from under us. And the immediate thought is, why is God doing this? Has God turned against us? Has God not seen what we have done for Him? Has God forgotten all the hours that we have given unto Him and serving Him? And as I say, all these things go through our mind, and we're thinking to ourselves, God, have you forgot about us? Have You turned against us? I know we're not told here about this lady, but maybe it seems that she never did think that, but maybe she did. Maybe she did. Because say she was somebody, as we see, she was somebody who loved the Lord, who lived for the Lord. Her husband was somebody who loved the Lord, who was living for the Lord. And what do we see? He was taken from her. I said it before, what we need to understand is that no Christian home is there that'll be exempt from pain, and no Christian is there that'll be exempt from pain, even when we live a godly life. And as we think about this today, I wonder, is this actually speaking right into your circumstances today? Because within your family, maybe something unexpected, something unwanted has happened. Great turmoil it has caused to you and to your family in recent days. Your home is not what it was in past years. The Lord was blessing in many wonderful ways. In your family, you were enjoying life. Everything was so good. But what has happened in recent days or recent weeks or recent years is that trials have come to you in some form or another. Your feet have been taken from under you. And right now, it is all about taking it, one day at a time. And trusting the Lord Jesus to give you the help, to give you the strength that you need to get through each day. Say, what we see here is the family and its problem. But what I want you to know secondly with this, and this is where we see such great encouragement, what we see secondly is the mother and her prayer. Really what we see is the response of the mother and her prayer. What is it we see here? What does she do in the midst of it all? Well, we see this in verse 1. It says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha." I say that is so key, that is so significant in it all, because the word cried here, it's meaning that she sought the Lord. What we need to remember is that she wouldn't have had God's word as we have it before us today. She couldn't have turned to God's word and said, "Well, I want to read Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." She didn't have verses like that in God's word to turn to, but she knew of God. She knew of him through her husband. She knew of him through Elisha, the servant of God, the prophet of God. And what we see is that she turned to him, and really it's saying that she was turning to God as she turned to him. Is that not what we often do in life? Whenever we go through the problems and the trials, yes, we can look unto God. We do look unto God, but we want to speak to somebody who is a servant of God, because we find it brings such help, it brings such comfort, it brings such strength for us. It's not that we're putting them before God, no, but it's that we're seeking their wisdom, we're seeking the counsel. As I say, it says here, their cried. She was a woman who prayed. A woman who sought God in the midst of her problems. Say, this mother had her problems, and great problems they were. But one problem this mother didn't have was in knowing where to turn when the pain and the troubles came to her home. Say, what we see is that this mother, as they say, she knew where to turn. And perhaps today, maybe, to say, as we come and as we consider God's word, you're sitting and you're looking at a situation, you've come with a heavy heart. Maybe today it's a mother. And you look at your home situation. And we know today is a day that we honor the mothers, and a day is, for many homes, it'll be a day of great joy, but maybe for you there's a heaviness. A heaviness within your heart today. Maybe you haven't been able to sleep all night. Or maybe you've been able to sleep, you've woke with this heaviness within your heart, and you're saying to yourself, "Lord, how do we get through? How do we get through?" Can I say to you today that if that's what you're doing, can I encourage you to keep on doing that? Because there's no better thing for you to do than to continue to commit it unto the Lord and seek his blessing and his help. You see, not only do we see here what she did, but we see the response to it. Because what we see is that Elisha listened to her. Elisha heard about her problem, and what we see is that he told her what to do, and immediately she acted upon it. Isn't that the wonderful thing, that as we live life, we're told that if we lack wisdom, it says, "Let any man asketh of God," in James chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "If any man lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not." In other words, if we need wisdom, God will not hold it back and giving it to us to guide us and to help us to go forward. And that's what happened here. She needed wisdom. She needed help. She had this huge debt. She was going to lose her two sons. She didn't know what to do. But to say, she knew what to do, very much so, and that she cried unto the Lord. She didn't know what to do in terms of how to pay it, but she knew what to do within her heart, and she took it to the Lord. What we see is Elisha told her what to do to go. Well, Elisha simply asked her, "Well, what do you have?" I love those words in verse 2 where he says, "Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" I think if it had been many of us today, if that's all that we had, we would have said, "Well, do you want to know something? I have absolutely nothing." We would have said, "Do you want to know something? Life is just so terrible. God has just so forsaken me. I don't have anything." Because we probably would have been embarrassed to say, "Do you want to know something? All I have is this little pot of oil." But what we see is a mother who, no. She wasn't embarrassed, and she just said, "Here's all I have, is a pot of oil.
And yet what we see is that she had the very thing that God was able to take. And God was able to bless, and we'll see it in a moment or two, that God was able to multiply. What did Elisha do when Elisha saw it? When Elisha heard about it, he knew immediately what to do. What did he say to her? He said, go and get vessels, go and get pots from your neighbors. Go and get empty pots. I don't know about you, but if I'd have been the mother in that situation, I'd have been looking at Elisha saying, what are you on about? They said, wasn't just go and get pots, or go and get pots of oil from your neighbors. No, it was go and get empty pots. I think that's so significant. That's something there that teaches us a wonderful lesson, because, as I say, if it had been us, we'd have been saying, well, why go and get an empty pot? What good will an empty pot be to me? If the Lord said to us to go and do something and it's to bring something back and it's completely empty, we'd be saying to ourselves, well, why go and get something that's empty? I have a huge debt. I don't need empty pots. I need full pots. But here was a lady who did what she was asked to do. And what we see is she sent her sons out to go and get empty pots. And whenever they came back, what is it they did? They went into the room and they started to pour the oil from the little oil that they had from this one pot into the other pots. And what we see in a moment or two is that God wonderfully provided. Is it today you're a mother? And what you're finding at home is that it's an empty cupboard that you're looking at. And you know there are bills to be paid, children to be fed. See, sometimes us husbands, we have to be honest. Sometimes we don't know all that's going on within the home, sure we don't. We don't know all that's going on within the kitchen. We don't know all that's going on with regards to our children and what they need day by day. And we're not aware of it. And maybe our wife is, she knows maybe the pressure that that we are as a husband, that we're under in terms of trying to supply for the family, provide for the family, the pressures maybe we have of in the workplace and so forth. And she's maybe keeping it away from us, and she's going home maybe even today to look and think, how are we going to get through today? How are we going to get through this week? It's not payday until Friday. I remember whenever, it's hard to believe actually, it's 20 years ago, I went off to Bible college in September of 1997. Hadn't planned to say this, but just as I think about it, it was 1997, and we have two girls. It's hard to believe our youngest is going to be no longer a teenager from tomorrow. It's her birthday, she turns 20, but when I went to Bible college, Carolyn was, 5 months old, and Julianne was just over 2 years of age, and Heather was at home, and it was part of the whole challenge of me going to Bible college, and very much there was a huge reluctance of me saying to the Lord, here am I, send me, because Heather was at home with the two girls. She'd quit work whenever Julianne was born, so there was no income coming through Heather, and I knew that if I went to Bible college, there'd be no income whatsoever. And I remember I went through a phase of, 3, 4, 5 months where I fought with the Lord and I said no, and I kept saying no, because, and that really was the real reason. How would the Lord provide? There's going to be no salaries whatsoever. How would the Lord provide for us? But it came to a point where I knew that definitely this is what the Lord wanted, and we took that step and applied for Bible college, was accepted, and I was starting in September time. And the other thing was the job I was in was a salesman, selling PVC windows, conservatories, all that sort of stuff. And I've been in it for a number of years, and I remember thinking to myself, whenever I had applied to the college, I had an interview in February time and I was accepted. I got word that I'd been accepted to start in September. And what went through my mind was this, was that from September, from February right through to September, the Lord's going to give me brilliant sales. The Lord's going to give me great sales that whenever I come to September and starting in the Baptist Bible College, I'm going to have this huge stack of money that's going to be set away that's going to at least get us over the first number of months or maybe the first year. Well, you know what happened from February? Sales plummeted. Absolutely plummeted. I came to the end of August when I quit work, finished work. Hardly a penny to my name. But with all the excitement of going to Bible college, within, as I say, the next week or so, I started Bible college. But little did I know, as I say, this is us men, sometimes we're not aware of everything. Little did I, that, while I knew we didn't have money, little and we were just getting by, little did I realize actually how bad it was. And I remember I started on the Monday. It was on the Tuesday, it was, I think. I went off to Bible college, second day. Not a penny to her name. And there was no food for Carla. She was 5 months old. No food whatsoever in the cupboard. There was no way that Heather was able to feed Carla. But you know what Heather did? Heather just sat in the kitchen. She just lay down on the floor. And what did she do? She did what the woman did here. She cried unto the Lord. Cried. Sobbed her heart out and said, Lord, how are we ever going to get through? This is only day two, let alone year two. Of me being in Bible college. And here she was sitting with no money to feed Carolyn. Carolyn, say, 5 months old. She cried unto the Lord. But whenever she was crying unto the Lord, it was then that the postman came. And she went and she got the post. And she opened it. There was a letter addressed to us, and she opened it, and there was a check for £200. Somebody saying, here's something to help you, to encourage you. As Alan starts out into serving the Lord. You see, if Heather, what that actually did was, that confirmed to Heather, do you want to know something? The Lord's going to look after us. He is going to meet every need. He is going to provide for us. And Heather was able to get that check cashed, able to buy food for Carlin. And you'll know something, for the next 3 years as I went through Bible college, the Lord, he looked after everything. But what did it take? As I say, I have to be honest, I didn't realize how bad it was. But what it took was a mother who simply cried unto the Lord. Heather had her problems. But she knew what to do. What a difference it made in our home, and it helped us through, and what a blessing it was as we saw the Lord provide time and time again. Say, the family and its problem. I said I was going to finish early this morning. I have a funeral to go to in Limavady. But I see time has gone. The family is problem, the mother and her prayer. You see, thirdly then, you can read this yourself, and what really just speaks of the greatness of God, because what we see is the Lord and his provision. Look here at verses 6 and 7. It says, and it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children off the rest. I say, what a great God we have. What we see is that God took the very little. Doesn't it remind us of that song that says, little is much when God is in it? And that's exactly what we see here, and how I believe that. And you see, we could ask the question, well, why did God allow this family to get into this situation? We could ask the question, well, here was a home where God had the preeminent place. Why did God allow it to get to such a terrible state? Well, as I say, we can ask all of these questions, but, well, often it comes actually as a test of our faith.
But what I also believe here is that it allows God to remind us, does it not, of how truly wonderful He is, even when we're up against it. What is one of the reasons we love this story? One of the reasons we love this story is because here was a situation that just seemed beyond any help whatsoever. And what has it happened? God showed up in a most amazing and a most wonderful way, because not only did the woman have the money to pay off her debt, but she had money then to live on for the days and the months that lay ahead, because that's what we're told here. It says there in verse 7, pay thy debt and live thou and thy children off the rest. You see, if God had stepped in at a much earlier state, we probably wouldn't look at this story and think much of it. But because God allowed it to go to a particular stage, and it seemed all help was gone, God showed up in a most amazing, a most wonderful way. And is it not that that comes as an encouragement to us today? Because we might be thinking to ourselves, God, I'm looking at my situation. No help, it seems to be. But what is it we can do today? We can go home with encouragement in our hearts. Why? Because we know He's the unchanging God. And what He's done for one other woman, He can do for us as well. And to say we can find great encouragement looking at our situation, thinking, oh, how are we going to get through? Well, we can get through, because our God is able to meet every need. Isn't that what we sang this morning? All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. The hymn we're going to finish with, it simply says these words, and how lovely it is. Father, like He tends and spares us, well our feeble frame He knows, in His hands He gently bears us, rescues us from all our foes.